Lord, we just ask that you would take this class according to what's in your heart, with what we really need, Lord, in the spirit that you're trying to deal with us, to bring forth your Lamb in real ways, ways maybe more real than we've ever known or understood. So we give our hearts in this time to your spirit and to your word, and we come up under you, the authority of your word. We come up under you as our Lord, our shepherd, and our life. And we just want to hear from you, Lord, by your Holy Spirit and your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I don't think we're going to go long tonight that I say that, but we'll just see what the Lord has. Some of you may know, and many of you will participate in, the actual workshop that is working tandem with this class. We have a time of practicing what we're sharing, and in that time we tend to go a little more in depth into some of the principles and practical applications of the things we're just looking at in the Word during these classes, and some of the charts and the labs and the workshop exercises that we do are printed out on and made available on the website. So if you're interested in some of that, that's a little more beyond what we're sharing in these classes, they're on the website, the Fire Ministries website, and under the classes you'll find the little pictures and pages and stuff if you want to look there. They're there. I don't think that we always will take the time during these classes for that, because it's a different part of this journey, just getting in the Word in the Wednesday night classes. So having said that, let's go to Revelation, the book of Revelation. I believe this is chapter 7. I do not have the chapter written here. You know what? I don't think it is chapter 7. It's chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. We're going to read verses 1 through 7. Revelation chapter 11. We're going to read verses 1 through 7. And you know where God has me, and my heart and desire just for myself and my brothers and sisters who really were here for Jesus in the way he wants us. My prayer, my desire, my deep, deep, deep personal need is for the Lord to be dealing with me, and he is, but until his Son is formed, until the Lamb governs in ways that that he needs his Son, in the ways that are real. And some of the scriptures that we're going to look at tonight are just verses that the Lord put on my heart that he's speaking to me through personally, to help break down those religious walls and stuff that I even thought wasn't religious, stuff that I thought was spiritual, and the Lamb and Jesus even, but wasn't. I don't know how to say that. Wasn't the Son being released in sacrifice in the way that is truly Jesus, the Lamb, and dividing those motives and intents, the inward parts where he desires the truth of what nature is really governing. Is it his Son, the slaughtered Lamb, or is it that old nature that is like a beast, a goat, selfish, and uses all kinds of forms of manipulation and religion and justification and knowledge of good, knowledge of that's evil, and therefore I'm justified, and all it's so the root of the tree is, the roots go so deep, and the fruit of the tree is, it's just so common. And the teaching of it is almost like we're inoculated because we're so familiar with it. So it doesn't hit deep, deep, deep. But we have a Father who loves his son so much and put us on this planet and put his son in us and gave us the Holy Spirit so that Jesus, that is a lamb, could really, really be our life. Not in our teachings and what our ministries say or our doctrines, or really be our life in the way that he understands life, his son as our life, this lamb. And it's just exhausting. It's overwhelming at times to approach any of these sacred things of that son, that beautiful lamb that is, it's in us. He is in us. And just overshadow him with my ideas of him that have continued to let self really live instead of him, to not be that blind man that just doesn't know but wants to see by God's eyes, wants those lamb's eyes to be opened, his eyes, his lamb eyes that come from him being the head, you know, that which the eye cannot see, the ear cannot hear, the heart cannot comprehend. You know, I don't have words, it's not a teaching, but I just, you can just pray for me. Just pray for me. Pray for me. Because I need him. And this class to me is just a great opportunity to cry out, to confess my need, to get prayer, to stand in the strength of the body, crying out together for his increase and put 10,000 beasts to flight and release the lamb together, you know. Nothing else really matters. And I need him so desperately. And so I want to press in real ways and not just the old paths that seem to be just another trip around the wilderness when the trial or the crisis comes. And those attitudes and those selfish ways and those justificating, self-justifying rationalizations that keep the beast alive come so naturally. That has to change in me. Not my brother, not my sister. It's in me. And I'm, you know, sorry that I'm such a broken mess, but my t-shirt, it's T-shirt Wednesday, as Pastor Randy said, it's broken and beloved. And, you know, we're all broken. When it's not Christ in us, we're just broken. We have the disease. We all have the virus. You know, when Eve ate from that horrible tree of death, you know, the disease came. We fell. And we've all got it. We're all sick with it. We're all dead by it. Dead in sin is the way the Bible calls it out. We don't really maybe know the depth of that disease, the vileness, the wretchedness. We hear Job, you know, crying out, "I am vile." We hear Paul saying, "Oh, wretched, you know, man that I am." And that can just become a teaching until we begin to be gutted by the cross, confronted with these motives, these bestial motives, convinced deeper than any sermon or pastor or counselor or circumstance could even show you, convinced by God that this is not the son that is his beloved, his lamb, his firstborn. But we are accepted in the beloved. Says that in Ephesians chapter 2. We're accepted, we're broken, but we are accepted in the beloved. And it's because of our union with Jesus based on his death that we can overcome the beast that is us, the disease that is our nature. the vileness that we are apart from Him, because we are accepted in the Beloved. And we can draw from Him His nature, His mind, His view, His thoughts, His spirit, and His heart. We have hope. We have hope. We have the cure. We have the cure for this virus. His name is Jesus, and it's not just Jesus up far away. It's the one that we're in, and the one that's in us. He's the cure. We have the cure, but we have to see that we have the disease, so we can access and take the cure in the way that's going to knock it out. Apply the cross in the way that's going to really do the deal. And it's just a wonderful opportunity in the earth right now, where we're all overwhelmed, overshadowed, over the sky is overcast with a worldwide pandemic, and everything has to change right now in the whole world to deal with this virus. But that's just a shadow. You know, while we're sheltering in place, while we're being safe physically in the earth, we need to be spiritually crying out for the real virus to be dealt with by the cure the Father gave us when He gave His only beloved Son, and He let Him die and be our life, and it be more real and more serious and more important than anything, and let each day be redeemed by being gathered into that in a real way, not a teaching way, not a season of sheltering in place, or another Bible school class, or I don't know. Only God can help us. But if we're real with Him, He can be real with us. And I just know in my life, it's time for being real and open and broken and not knowing everything. And, you know, it's that time for me. Boy, do I know it. Boy, do I know it. And I want Him. I need Him. I want Him. And wow, let's do it together. Let's just do it for Him, by Him, through Him, unto Him together. Let's redeem these days. Let's do this. Let's not sleep through this or waste it for Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 11, and let's just read these seven verses, and we're just going to look at them in a way that maybe we've never looked at them before. I know that I was listening to a class on the book of Revelation today, and I started the class, and this was the scripture that came up, and it was as if fireworks went off inside of my being by the finger of God, the Spirit of the living God. He just hit me, and that's, He's been doing that. And it just touched my spirit and my heart in a way I've never heard it before. And so I thought I'm going to bring this in to tonight. And just not in the hopes of laying out a great sharing and having, you know, this great presentation, just a seed from the Word of God, and say, yeah, look at that. Just with new eyes and blind eyes and open hearts and broken hearts, and I don't know, I show me God, show me in a way that will bring forth the Lamb in me, and not the way I even understand, but the truest way, if you need Him. You know, just approach a scripture with that heart and see what God can do, and see what God can do in us. So let's just read Revelation chapter 11, and starting in verse 1. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. That's so important. We'll look at that in a second. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 40 and 2 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Where are you scripture searchers who know right where that comes from? I hear you saying Zechariah. Amen. Yay. All right. Verse 5. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have the power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. These have the power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues, as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and shall kill them. Wow. Wow, wow, and wow. But let's just look at a few places where I felt the Holy Spirit touched my heart and see what he has to say to you. He may say something totally different that declares Christ crucified and his lamb nature in us. But I can only give you and submit to you, not as a teacher, but as a sister who needs Jesus, some of my personal thoughts. And let's find them. Let's find them. So verse 1. Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. So my thoughts, or maybe from the Holy Spirit, were that God is wanting to see how formed, how built, what is the measurement of the temple and the altar and the worshipers. Maybe how much lamb is really in the temple, which is meant to be a place where he sits on his throne and dwells and manifests and fills the temple with his glory and pours out of the threshold of the temple and reaches the ends of the earth and his temple. How much of the lamb is there? And measure the altar. How much of the lamb is truly being offered up through this temple? Measure that. Weigh it in the balances. How much of the lamb is really there? Measure the altar. Measure the place where we fellowship with him in his sufferings, where we release the firstborn in sacrifice, where we respond by his motives and intentions from the inward parts out through the body manifesting in real ways. Measure that. Measure those that worship in oneness with the Lamb, not his teachings, not his emotional responses in our souls or our deep things we see and do in his name, but those who worship through sacrifice by allowing the Lamb to be their life. Measure that. Measure that. It's the book of Revelation. He's not saying measure their ministries. Measure the books they wrote. Measure the journals they write. Measure the songs they sing. Measure the things they do. He's measure the altar. Measure the altar. Where's my lamb? Is he there? Where's my lamb? Is he there? The one I know from before the foundation of the world, the one that was ever with me, my lamb, the Lamb of God, the Son of the Father's love, the firstborn, the well-favored, darling of his heart. Where's the lamb? Is he on the altar? And are they worshiping? Is he ascending? Is he consumed and ignited and released? I mean, Lord, measure us. Lord, measure the altar. Measure us as a temple of the Lamb. Measure us if we are worshiping, if he is on there. Lord, measure us by your standard, by your measurements, by your eyes, by the things you know are true measurements. And Lord, if we come up lacking, bring forth Jesus. Deal with us according to your measures, not our view of ourselves. Deal with us. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help me, Father, Holy Spirit. Even though it be hard and difficult to see the real state of the temple, which is me or us. Oh, Father, we want to bring forth Jesus in the way you really need him, so measure us. In Jesus' name, amen. And then we have in verses 3 through 4, we have these two witnesses, and they are clothed in sackcloth, and they're full of oil. If you read the scriptures, I think it's in Zechariah 3 or 4, you can read about they're full of the Spirit, and they're full of the Spirit of Christ, and they are clothed in sackcloth. They have his nature. I believe these things are testifying that these are true witnesses. And of course we know, or many of us know, that the word witness, it is really the word martyr. They bear witness to who God is by letting the Lamb manifest in his martyr, in his dying, in their mortal flesh. They let the true witness of God come all the way through their bodies, not in their preaching and teaching, but in the way that they lay their life down by his nature. That's a witness. We can't witness if we're beasts with the right message. We can't witness. We can't show forth his glory if we're just people with the right message but beasts underneath. People will smell, they'll sense the difference of nature, and it will inoculate them to words that should be dripping with oil, ointment, and nature, that should be full of the Lamb Spirit and not just the Lamb teaching. We don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. What a wonderful time to cry out so we form properly. Amen. But these two witnesses in the earth, they have the Lamb, and they're bringing forth him in a manner of, yes, they are preaching. Fire is actually in verse 5 proceeding out of their mouth. Have you ever had someone full of the zeal of the Lord and it's Jesus in them? It's the Lord. And it's as if fire is proceeding out of their mouth and it's going forth to consume that flesh. Consume that flesh. That is, what is that flesh doing? That flesh that has the nature of a beast? It's warring against the Lamb. You know, I think we cover our flesh and we, in compassionate ministry, quote-unquote, cover each other's flesh, which, God help us, because we don't realize that the nature of the flesh that is uncircumcised, uncrucified, that hasn't been sanctified by becoming his flesh through death, and it be Christ in our mortal bodies, our flesh wars against the Lamb. Because its nature, of its nature, we don't see it as an enemy because we see it through our personal feelings and our personal attitudes and our personal, we just see it through the eyes of a fallen man that's self-aware and full of the knowledge of good and evil. So we don't understand that this flesh is warring against the Lamb. But God knows. And these witnesses are like full of the word of the cross with such power and energy of the living God, the crucified God, that it's like fire coming out of their mouth and it's devouring their enemies. If any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. I mean, it's consuming flesh. Can you imagine how upset people are getting that do not want the Lamb to be their life by these two witnesses? And I'm not just talking about the guys on Mardi Gras who are drunk, or the people who are just, you know, God-hating demon worshipers. I'm talking about maybe you and me. Maybe Christians, maybe people who just don't want to let go of their flesh. And when the word of the cross comes, it's offensive. And it needs to stop coming. Or I'm going to lose my precious life. My life. I love my life. I love my life. And you know, It's just a couple verses down the road in chapter 12 of Revelation where it says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimonies, and because they loved not their life even unto death. They loved not their life. They did not count their life so precious. They loved the Lamb more than their own life. They didn't want to kill someone who came to put that life on the gallows, crucified with Christ, where it belonged, so the Lamb could take the throne and be our new nature. It's real stuff. It's not, we may love the teaching of that, but God is not dealing with my personal heart on the teaching of it. He's not. And I just can't go any further than me. Just can't. So, well, if you read verse 6, these dudes are pretty relentless. Wow. Let's just read verse 6. These two witnesses have the power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. They have the power over waters to turn them to blood, to smite the earth with all plagues, as often as they will. I mean, they are just slicing and dicing the flesh and the sense realm, and that old beast nature is under siege by the word of the cross and power. And all these dudes are not teaching classes. There is a whoosh, arrows of the Almighty are being released. In verse 7 says, and when they finished their testimony, the beast that ascended, this is the verse that I heard today when it all started for bringing up these scriptures tonight. And when they had finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, shall overcome them, and shall kill them. Lord, help us to just have some sense of what that means to your heart. The beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit. When I heard that verse coming out of my speaker, the Lord said, that beast that ascends, Kelly, inside of you, when I'm dealing with your flesh, or when Christ is not formed and your flesh is responding, it's coming out of a bottomless pit. And I immediately thought of the scriptures in 2 Peter where he said, until the day dawn and the day star arise in our heart, shining, how does it go, in a dark place. It says in a dark place in that verse in 2 Peter that has to do with the day star dawning in our heart, that the light would shine out of a dark place. And the Lord said, Kelly, you are that dark before Christ comes forth in his glorious Lamb nature, as my life rising as the sun to be life out of me. He's in there. But he said, Kelly, your heart before Christ gives you his and is formed and is enthroned, it's like a dark place. And these motives, they rise out of that. It's like a bottomless pit. It just knows no end to its darkness. And we're going to look at what darkness means in the sense realm. I mean, the sense realm is darkness. It just, we think it's light and color and reality. It's darkness. It's devoid of true light. The spirit realm, God is light. And he illuminates all things by who he is, his nature, his being. But the sense realm creates another way of seeing things through our senses, and it's darkness. It's darkness, and then we function by our own understanding, our own view, our own righteousness, our old nature. It's like a dark pit that's bottomless. And out of that dark place, out of that bottomless pit. Verse 7, bottomless pit, comes these beasts. They rise up when they are when they're stirred up by some situation, by some, we talked about it in First Peter class recently, evildoer, by something that, the preaching of the cross that they don't want to hear, something that challenges their comfort, their life in this earth, their rights, their, whatever it is, those beasts rise, they ascend, and they come out to pounce and war against the Lamb until the Lamb is overcome and killed. They're warring against the Lamb. Maybe they're warring against the Lamb that's in you. Maybe that beast that is rising up out of your soul or my soul is attacking the Jesus that's in your spirit, trying to stop him from rising as the day star and dawning and shining and having preeminence in you, in your motives and your intents and in your reactions. Maybe those, they're coming to war against Jesus coming out of you and taking the throne of your heart. Maybe they're warring inside of you against Christ in you. Maybe they're doing it out through you to someone else who has the Lamb in them. But they war against that nature. The nature of that beast wars against the nature. The carnal mind is at enmity. It wars against the spirit. It says that in Romans chapter 8. There's a war going on, folks. And many times it's going on inside of us. And that beast rises to attack the Lamb, to overcome him. But you know, there's a place in Samuel, and you scripture searchers probably already saw this and have seen the Lord in it, but let's do more than see the Lord in it. Let's make it our own and let Christ come forth out of it. But there was a point where David grew stronger and Saul grew weaker. You know, there was a point where that war was going on, or that conflict, that kingdom divided between David and Saul, between the David representing maybe the Lamb on the throne and Saul representing the soul or that beast, that old nature trying to have preeminence within. There's a point when our spirit can grow stronger and the Lamb can begin to form and take more ground in our hearts. And that soul and that way of reasoning and that self can begin to be dealt with by the cross of its own death. But Jesus already put away that whole kingdom. He destroyed that whole creation. It is crucified, past tense, but there are times when it needs to be applied. That finished work needs to have a practical, personal, right here, right now application to that beast, to that soul, to that old life that wants to take down the Lamb. I think 10 minutes in the flesh will convince any Christian that that's the truth, because we experience it inside of us. We don't want to justify that. We want to be real about it so we can let the Lord deal and let the cross come and let Jesus really come forth. And how wonderful, how much peace, much real life and love like a river, joy like a fountain. The real Jesus, he's our life, real life. Oh, how wonderful, a land that flows with milk and honey, possessed in the inward parts by the true spirit of Christ in his Lamb nature. Well, that's what we get when we get real. We get with our Father and His Spirit and start doing business. Let's go now. This is our next and final verse, and we're already at a half an hour. Oh, I always want to go very short, and then I talk too much. It's probably what it is, and I'm sorry for that. Let's go to Daniel chapter 7, and there's so much here, and maybe you can, if the Spirit touches your heart with this, just spend a little time with the Lord on your own. See what he has to say with you in these verses. But we're just going to look briefly at Daniel chapter 7, verses 1 through 11. Daniel chapter 7, verses 1 through 11. In the first year of Belshazzar, already I stop, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream. Okay, we're just going to, but we do know Belshazzar is the one who God wrote on the wall and weighed him in the balances. But anyway, that's another search. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matter. Daniel spoke and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, let's just kind of focus in on this part here. The four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, each one different from the other. The first was like a lion, it had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. I beheld another, it was a beast, a second like a bear. Okay, we're going to skip to six. I beheld another, it was a leopard. Okay, verse 7, after this I saw night visions. Behold, a fourth beast, dreadful, terrible, strong exceedingly. It had great teeth, it devoured and broke in pieces, stamped the residue with his feet. Verse 8, I'm skipping a little bit for the sake of time. Verse 8, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down. The Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, the hair of his head like pure wool, his throne like a fiery flame, and his wheels as a burning fire. And a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered to him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set. The books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even until the beast was slain, and his body was destroyed and given to the burning flame. I think that pretty much says it. I beheld until, and that's our heart, this whatever this is, this move of God within us, to behold until that beast is completely dealt with, and that Ancient of Days, that Lamb on the throne, is enthroned and seated and ministered to and real. But let's just take a quick moment here in closing to look at the verse 2. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens drove upon the great sea. Verse 3, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from one another. So now we have the winds of heaven, and I don't know if this is right or not. I say right what the Lord's saying. You ask the Lord yourself. But to me it is as if the Spirit of God is dealing, like the winds of the Spirit of God are dealing in the four corners in all the earth to bring forth Christ in us, in the earth, in earthen vessels, in the body, in people bought by the blood of the Lamb, brought into oneness so he could truly be their life. Spirit striving, he's striving with flesh, with all flesh, according to the purposes of God for his Son in us. And as the Spirit moves and as it strives, and those four winds begin to blow on that great sea, and many theologians and some interpret the sea as just humanity, just mass humanity. I don't know if that's right or not, just a thought. But it's striving with all flesh. It's striving upon the great sea. And the result of that deep dealing and winds blowing and God pressing in for his Son and moving in the earth and in hearts and is that these beasts start coming. You know, you'd think that the Lamb would start coming up. He's dealing for more of Jesus in the earth that is humanity, vessels of clay made to contain the treasure which is Christ in us in his Lamb nature. Bearing in their mortal flesh his dying. That's the nature of the Lamb. We're talking 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 7 through 10 right now, just for your reference. But he's, we would think that Jesus would start coming forth from that great sea of humanity being dealt with by the Spirit. But it's not. It's what comes forth is beasts, four of them, all diverse from one another. The response to that is the dross, is the vile manifesting. It's showing its ugly heads. Maybe they were latent, laying on the bottom of the sea, just quiet Leviathan down there, but not stirred up yet. But when the Spirit began to really deal, not doctrinally deal, but began to really deal, stir that Leviathan up, those beasts started waking up and go, whoa, what is that? I want to live. I want my way. I do not want to suffer. I do not want to enter into the Lamb. And they come up out of the sea and start manifesting. Well, that's really powerful imagery. Both Daniel and the Book of Revelation are phenomenal books of imagery, very related to one another. No, we're not into images. We're into Christ, the Lamb. We're into Jesus, the living person, our nature, our life, God's Son. And that image is, it's powerful. Is it personal? That's the question I feel from the Lord. Is it personal? It's personal to my brother. I can see it happening over here. Oh my gosh, look at this situation. Look at this person. I mean, boy, oh boy. No. Not my brother, not my sister, and not anybody anywhere else. I think I got enough to deal with right here. Is it personal to me? What is rising from my sea, from my depths, from deep inside my inward parts? What is coming up when God is dealing with me? Me, 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 me. Not them, not them, not them. Even if they're the ones causing problems and drawing stuff out. No. The Spirit may be stirring them up to stir me up, but I am what I am looking at. Personal. What is rising out of my deep sea, the depths of me, the sea, the depths of me? One may look like a lamb, is it? It's got some fangs coming out of there. Well, what do I do then? I don't know what to do. If I confess the truth, which is, I see this stuff rising out of the bottomless pit. I see this rising out of the sea, the deep sea of my inward parts, and it's not the lamb. Well, you know, the first step is to say, Lord, I need the Jesus that you put in me to be formed in me, to govern, to take the throne, to be my life in these real life things. That's why we're this time, this course, this whatever you want to call it, that's the purpose for me and anyone else who feels that desire deep within. And it doesn't start by looking at a chart of a beast and a root from a tree and little cute pictures and, oh yay, that's, yeah, that makes sense. Woo-woo! Whatever. You know, it's going to hit home when we experience that personally and we don't justify it or just, I'm not going to think about that. Or we own it. We don't identify it. Broken, but beloved. Broken but beloved. Got the wrong order, sorry. Broken, Lord, I need you. I'm broken. The beasts come up instead of the lamb. You've tested me. You've proven it in all these situations. And I cannot pretend that broken beast popping up out of the depths of me is your lamb. I'm broken. I need you. I know you're in there, but I need Jesus to govern, and the beloved Son is in me. He's in there. Those beasts may be rising, but he's in there. I am born again, and I am in him, accepted in the beloved, Ephesians chapter 2. So Lord, my hope is in you. I'm going to fix. I'm not going to justify. I'm not going to pretend it's not there. I'm not going to act like I'm okay when I know I'm not. I'm going to say, look at this. Look at this beast that I own as in my zoo, coming from my sea, that it's, I need you, broken. But Lord, I'm going to behold the Lamb that is my life, my head, my source, and I'm going to behold him until the beast is slain and his body is destroyed and given to the flame. I'm not looking at the beast to destroy the beast. I'm not looking at the beast to have his body destroyed. And I'm not looking at the beast to give him to the burning flame. I'm looking at the Lamb, like 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, right around there says, I am fixing my gaze on Jesus so that I can be changed into that same image by the Spirit from glory to glory, so that he can be formed in me in such a way that these beasts will be destroyed, will be done away with the coming of the Lord, eradicated with the light of life, pushing out all the darkness that was coming out of that dark place. Jesus is going to deal with them. And I'm not, while I'm looking at Jesus, I'm not going to say, I don't need you. Those beasts aren't real. I know they are. You know, he knows they are. But he also knows that he's my life. And I come boldly to that throne of grace in this time of need. Man, I got beasts rising out of the sea. If that ain't a time of need, I don't know what is. But I'm coming to you. We talked about this last class, maybe it was. Naked and undone. Not using fig leaves to cover it over. Not justifying beasts to feel okay. Not pretending there's nothing going on in my heart, in my mind, in my soul. When I know and God knows, because he knows and sees the heart, that it's all messed up and broken in there. But he sees beyond that. He sees his son is also in there. And that I am in him. And that his cross is real. And that he was crucified. And he dealt with this stuff. And he's on our side. We need to get on the Lord's side against the beasts, even when they're rising from our own sea. And we need to deal with them out of oneness with the beloved Son based on his cross and start just start being with Jesus, even in the middle of it. I beheld until, keep looking at the Lamb. Eat his flesh, drink his blood. We're not talking about looking at a picture on the wall. We're not talking about just some, I'm going to just keep thinking Jesus' thoughts. Or, no, look deep into his being and eat his flesh and drink his blood and get his life. Be by the Spirit, behold, and be changed. Until he's enthroned and that stuff is no longer. God comes back around chapter 11, verse 1 and 2 in the book of Revelation. He measures that temple again. He's measuring it all the time in the book of Ezekiel. He measures that temple that is you and me again. He measures that altar and he goes, you know what? There's a lot less beasts running around this ark, this temple. And I see the Lamb on this altar, and it's the real one. Because the Spirit, they held that gaze. They pressed in to oneness with the slaughtered one who has already purchased them with scars and made them one. And they're beginning to take hold of that. And let him deal with all that stuff in the temple and bring forth what only he can bring forth. His life. So Lord, we just continue to fix our heart on you. We do not justify or deny the things that rise from within us. We know that they're beasts so many times. Maybe under religious garb or justified knowledge of good and evil thoughts, but we don't want to justify beasts. We don't want to hide them either. We want to deal with them by the cross through oneness with Jesus, the beloved, given Son, and allow him to flow and fill and overcome and reign. So Lord, deal with us according to thine own heart. Deal with us according, even as David prayed it in the Psalms, according to thine own heart. Have thine own way, Lord. You are the potter, we are your clay. Bring forth your Son. So we just love you, Lord. We need you so much. And we thank you for being the best Father. The Father to your Son in us. And that relationship between you two is before us and after us, and we can be all swallowed up in it and carried carried through the covenant you have with your Son, Father, the Son who is even in us. So we pray this in his name, in Jesus' name.